Well, honestly, I have been waiting, impatiently I might add, for 6 weeks to be able to share my verse. I mean, ever since we created this series, I've been looking forward to the time that I could share my verse. Then, after I've listened to the teachers over the past, weeks, sharing and teaching as they have, they've just been so stinking good. I tell you what, I'm intimidated, just to be up here and share my verse today. I hope this series you found to be profitable, challenging, inspirational, helpful. I want to ask, how many would say that you have now found your verse, your my verse, or you have a life verse now? Can I just see your hands? Okay, great, good. How many are thinking about getting it tattooed on you? Oh, so you just, a little tentative there, huh? All right, great. Hey, would you do something? Everybody, would you just grab, we've got these cards that we put in your programs right now. It looks like this says my verse on it. Would you just grab that and just kind of wave it out there? I'm going to use this today, but we're going to put it aside for just a little bit. We'll come back to it at the end. If you are new at Fox River, we want to again say we are just so glad that you're here joining us as a guest of ours. Hope that you become a regular part soon. If you're just coming back from the summer and all the craziness of that, kind of catching up with things here, and you hear me talking now about the series and this phrase, my verse, you might be wondering, like, what exactly are they talking about? So let us catch up here real quick. Pastor Rob started us off, and he said that my verse, or in other words, a life verse, is this. He said, it is a truth of God that I've taken hold of because it has taken hold of me. That's what my verse is all about. Now, Brad, certainly that's an extreme case of how God has used a verse that's taken hold of him. Yours may not be as extreme, though believe me, I've heard a lot of stories of this, the impact that a life verse has had on an individual. It's like, it's just, those are very, very cool to hear. And all of us, every one of us will be benefited by having a my verse, a life verse as a part of our, spiritual makeup as well. I stumbled onto mine very early in my Christian life. Those of you who know my story, I wasn't raised in a Christian home. When I did receive Jesus, it came with a pretty significant life change along with that. Now, when I say I stumbled into my life verse, probably a better way of expressing it is God had given to me a compass, a gift that I didn't realize just how helpful it was going to be to navigate the many complex situations and decisions of life that I was going to face, and continues to help me to this very day. There's not a week that doesn't go by that I don't bring my verse to mind, and usually it's not, but 2-3 days, that's gone in between, just bringing this up again. You can find it if you'll take your Bible now and turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 6 is where we're heading right now, and in fact, verse number 33. If you didn't bring a Bible with you, let me encourage you, grab one of the pew Bibles, turn with us to page 1509. I want you to see the verse there, but even more so to see where it's located. Now, I'm going to put Matthew 6:33 up here as I learned it. I learned it in the King James Version. How many of you have ever read or had exposure to King James Version? Can I see your hands? Okay, yeah. You remember the King James Version? I love the King James Version for a couple of reasons. One, it's because I've always felt like I've been discipled by Shakespeare himself, having read the King James. The other thing is, every time I'm asked what foreign languages I know, I always list the King James in there as well. So, I mean, great advantages back in that day. You may be looking in your Bible. Let's just read together from what we've got on the screen. So we'll all go King James for a second, shall we? All right? And we've got a good ye in here so we can, catch it all. Together? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, a couple things I want you just to realize about Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33, and the setting that it's found in. The first one is this. This is a summary statement of Jesus. In other words, if you would look right now, you are right smack dab in the middle of what's called the Sermon on the Mount. It's the greatest sermon, so it's referred to as the greatest sermon Jesus has ever preached. It's the most extensive of all of Jesus' teachings that we have. It's his discourse on the Christian life and the Christian living and what he desires for us in our lives. And he uses Matthew 6:33 as a summary statement for it. Later we'll discover it's a summary statement actually for Christian living and Christian orientation. Something else very interesting about Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33, and that is that it is Jesus' prescript response to worry in our life. Now, if I were to ask, and you can be looking, you know, again, having the Bible open, you'll see verse number 34 there is the word therefore, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Therefore, and then Jesus goes like, you don't have to worry. In fact, he talks about that. How many worriers do we have here? How many like worriers by nature? Whoa, that's a lot that are in here. Now, lest anybody judge you right now, like, ooh, worrier, right? I mean, how many here have ever worried in your life? Can I see your hands? Yeah, for sure. I'm not a worrier by nature, but there's times that I've found caught, paralyzed by worry, something significant there. Jesus would say, and here's where I want you to go back to. This is what I want to give you to deal with what it is that you're struggling worry-wise in your life that way. Something else that you may not know, and that is that the kingdom of God, that is the very, the subject that Jesus is bringing here, the kingdom of God was at the very core or the very heart of Jesus' message and Jesus' teaching. Let me just take us real quickly through a couple verses in the New Testament. Talking about Jesus' ministry, he went all throughout the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming, look at it, the good news of the kingdom and healing disease and sickness everywhere. This is what Jesus did. I mean, that's what his life on earth was about. And Luke tells us this. After this, Jesus traveled from one town and village to another, read it with me, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him with that. Now, lest we think that, well, that was what Jesus did when he was here and then things changed afterwards, like when the church started. Acts chapter 1, verse number 3 is probably the 40 most intriguing days of the disciples' life. Because this was the time, the Bible tells us, after his death, Jesus presented himself alive to them, that is, his followers, in many different settings over a period of 40 days. In face-to-face meetings, he talked to them about the things concerning, say it with me, the once Jesus rose from the dead, do you know what he was talking with his disciples about? It was kingdom of God focused. In other words, it wasn't something back then, but he's like, now you're able to get it. Now you know in a greater way, and this is how the kingdom of God is going to go forth, and this is your part that you're going to be playing in the kingdom of God. It's at the very heart, at the core of what Jesus' message was and is today. One other insight. And that is that Matthew 6:33 actually serves as the great commitment for us. Now, you may have heard before the Great Commission. Jesus, I don't want you to go and to make disciples, to share good news everywhere. You may have heard of the Great Commandment when Jesus said, love God wholeheartedly, love your neighbor as yourself. But in the Great Commitment, he gives us the summary for Christian life and Christian orientation. Or he goes like, this is the orientation that I had in my life and I want to be able to share with you as well. Now, I put this note on your handout. If you're reading in the New Testament and you can come across different terms such as the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of the Son, I want you to realize these are all synonymous. It's all the same thing, just different nuances that are being talked about, but he's not talking about something different when he talks about the kingdom. It's always the same thing, to which we're probably asking the question now, so what is What is the kingdom of God? Which is a great question. I just want to preface it with this. If you don't leave today with more questions about the kingdom than when you came in, with, you know, thinking or pondering about the kingdom, then I will not have communicated well. In other words, we're not going to get our head around every aspect of it, but it will be something now that just continuing like this beacon going off, begging more questions and engaging us more in our lives. So that's it. The kingdom of God may draw to your mind images or pictures like this. The kingdom and its castle, right? The kingdom and its gathering and its glory. And in essence, the kingdom, it's like out there somewhere, right? And it's to be somewhere. Now, these pictures are definitely, Jesus would be going, and his disciples were thinking the same thing, to which he said, no, that's not right. In fact, we've got to change what you're thinking about the kingdom of God. And that's what he delved into. One of the people, Dallas Willard, that has just been able to be as helpful and concise in taking a very complex thing and bringing it to like, you know what, I can understand this and plug it into my life. He coined this term regarding the kingdom of God. He said that the kingdom of God is the place where what God once done is being done. Now let me just sink that in for a second. You're like, whoa, let me think about that. The kingdom of God is the place where what God once done is being done. Would you read it just once with me? We'll start with just the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, it's the place where what God once done is. Now, what do you think about that? The kingdom of God is where what God once done, it's being done. The kingdom of God is the place where Jesus' lordship is recognized and it's embraced. The kingdom of God is the place where God's will, that is his will of desire, is being done. Jesus would always say this, the kingdom of God is here, the kingdom of God is now. Now, let me just do a quick 60-second theological deep dive so I don't, you know, confuse anybody later. Jesus would continually bring this matter to mind. In fact, we talk about it's where God's will desires being done. You may be familiar with this prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name, say it with me, your on earth as it is in heaven. See, it's like it's always been there in front of us, but it's so easy again to miss the presence that Jesus is saying. It's like what God wants, and it's being accomplished out here, this is what God wants done here, and his kingdom is that place where it actually takes place. So, quick theological deep dive. I'll just take about 60 seconds with it. Don't confuse the sovereignty of God or the sovereign reign of God over creation with this kingdom. Now, when we talk about God is sovereign, what we mean by that, God is sovereign. He is in control. He can do whatever he wants to do in his kingdom. He's never out of control. But in his sovereignty, he has given to us something we refer to as free will. And with free will, we, the creation, can choose, if you so choose to do so, to rebel against the Creator. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, I mean, we can do that. Now, is it God's desire that we would rebel against him? Yes or no? I mean, right, you're all theologically astute that way. That is not what God's desire is. Even though he's still sovereign, he sovereignly reigns over creation, there's a lot of things that take place that aren't his desire. Doesn't take away his sovereignty. But with this kingdom and in his kingdom, that which Jesus spearheaded. When Jesus came forth, he modeled, this is what kingdom living is like. He said, this is how you would live the kingdom of God. Kingdom living is when the subjects of the kingdom willingly do what God desires for them to do. Go back to the picture. Rather than thinking about the kingdom of God as out there in this controlled environment, you know, behind the golden gates, Jesus spoke to people that were very common, in fact, many of them very poor, and said, this is what the kingdom of God looks like in your lives. We need to replace this picture of the castle right now with just the picture of our house. Think about your house. Now, some of you are thinking like, oh boy, that's a downgrade, right? I mean, that's where God's kingdom is at. I mean, God, you know, like needs better digs, that's for sure. The place where God's kingdom and where he wants done, which think about it, is every place that you go. God wants his kingdom to be manifest in your house, at your home, in your workplace. For Brad, it's driving a truck. For some of you, it's working in a cubicle. Others, it's working on a line. Others, it's working in different places. But in those places, it's where, what does God want done? Ask yourself, what does God want done here? And the kingdom of God is taking place if you are doing what God desires to be done in that environment you find yourself in. Think about the kingdom of God in your school. You say, well, God's not allowed in my school. Funny thing about that goes this way. Where you go and are willing to do what he desires for you to be doing, his will to be done just in your life, all of a sudden, the kingdom of God is going forth there and the kingdom of God is advancing. See, here's the thing about the kingdom of God. It's very dynamic. All these different places, all these different actions or energies that can be taken place. The kingdom of God is it's continuing to expand as his subjects do what he desires to be done in that particular moment. Or it can be contracting when they choose not to do that as well. When we talk about kingdom subjects or people of the kingdom, kingdom citizens, how do you get there? You know, what are the requirements? Because Jesus gave two of them for us. They're really important, again, just to know, like, am I a kingdom player or not? You can answer that question by just looking at these two requirements. The first requirement Jesus said was this. In order to be a part of the kingdom, you must be born again. As he talked to a man, Nicodemus in particular, a very spiritual, religious man, a leader at that point, he said to him these words. He said, Nicodemus, truly I tell you this. I mean, like, I couldn't be more serious, Nicodemus. Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God. They can't see it, they can't experience it, unless they are born again. Now, that term, born again, still carries a lot of emotional energy or emotional baggage with it. When you hear born again, you may think this, woohoo, right? I mean, like, that's what I'm talking about. How many here are like that? I mean, you hear born again, just like, yeah! Guess your hands. Okay, and even those of you are like, I usually don't like this, right? All right. How many here? There's baggage with the term. You're going like, when I hear born again, I kind of get my guard up. I think like weird religious people, kind of the crazy spiritual ones that are out there. How many think, you know, that when you hear born again? Yeah, and everybody else is just brain dead, you're telling me. You're like, yeah, never heard of the term before. I don't think anything, right? I'm just totally neutral. If you kind of get your guard up, it's because you're hearing something that Jesus was never saying. He's saying, you want to be a part of the kingdom? You need for God to do in you what only he can do. And that is to bring life. If you'll open yourself up to God and he can bring life and new relationship, then you can and will experience the kingdom of God. And that is now, not just someday, out there. Said a little differently in Colossians. For he, God the Father, has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son, whom he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Again, takes us back to Jesus said, I've done something for you you could never do for yourself. And if you'll open yourself up, just acknowledge that that's what you need and come to me for what I can give to you, then God does this work in you. There's this birthing in you of new life that you didn't have before, of my working and my presence, and that's how the kingdom of God is stepped into. Now, the next thing Jesus tells us about the kingdom is this, though. He says, you've got to continue to stay connected or remain in me. In John 15, Jesus' terms was, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you'll bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, that term remain in me or stay connected to me, go back to the King James, if you abide in me, you're like, what's that mean? Just think about the picture that Jesus gave. I'm the vine, you're the branch. Tree, branch, fruit. Break the branch off, the branch is disconnected from the tree. You're not going to be able to do kingdom work, experience kingdom, you know, activities, you know, et cetera, that way. There's this connection with Jesus. In fact, kingdom advancement, kingdom living, kingdom work, it's always connected to Jesus. And when we recognize that, here's how I got into the kingdom, for this working of God in me, and if I will stay connected to Jesus, then I'm in the place where kingdom work, kingdom experience is something that can, that will be a part of my life. So, here's what we've done. We've kind of given ourselves a foundation. This is what the kingdom of God is. We know how we can become a part of it. And with this foundation, we can now allow Jesus to challenge us with the great commitment. Because we know a little bit about the kingdom. Now, here's what Jesus says about what it is that we've learned about, that what we know. The great commitment is found in these terms. Matthew 6:33 starts out, but seek first. But seek first, then it goes on to the kingdom of God. Jesus using this term, but, he used a contrasting term, transitional term, in what he was talking about. Because remember, Matthew 6:33 is part of a bigger conversation. That's why we open our Bibles and we look at it. Jesus has been talking about, don't live like an unbeliever. Don't act like somebody that's disconnected from God in your life. And he talked about it could be this way, or it could be this way, or it could be this way, or it could be this way. So it's like, don't be like a person that's disconnected from God or an unbeliever. Be like a person. Instead, be like a person that is connected to God, that understands God now in their life. Seek. Seek is actually, it's a verb that shows continue action. It's a continual imperative. You know, what he's saying goes like, but continue seeking every day. It's like seek, but continue to seek. And he's not talking about looking for something here. It's not like you're on a search. Where's the kingdom of God? You know, I'm looking for the kingdom of God somewhere. It's not what he's talking about. Seeking, he's talking about giving attention to. You know, give your attention. Put your focus on this. It's talking about your allegiance. Continually give your attention to this matter. And he says, first, which is pretty self-explanatory, right? Above all else. Number one priority. So his words have been, but don't be like somebody that doesn't understand or is disconnected from God. Continually be seeking, giving attention to in this first priority, the number one priority of our lives, the kingdom of God. And it begs the question, simple question at first, am I? If I were to ask you today, are you seeking first the kingdom of God in your life? You would answer either, yes, I am, or what? Or no, I'm not, right? Either yes, I am, or no, I'm not. If the answer is no, I'm not seeking first the kingdom of God, well, of course, that the follow-up question is then, what are you seeking first? What is your first priority? Because all of us have one. We all have a matter of most importance in our life. And in fact, we'll have a first priority of our day, and everything else gets ordered or valued around it. Jesus talked about other things. Here's the other things you could have as priorities in your life. Matthew 6, he talked about success. He could talk about financial goals and achievements. He talked about social matters of our life. He talked about work, our personal goals, our family, happiness. All of these things could become number one priorities. Now, Jesus never dissed any of them. None of those things are bad. But what Jesus said is this: but none of them can do what God can do. He said, you need to understand that these things can become distractions from God if they are number one. In fact, they can actually be a reason that we'll create distance from God if we have this other priority in our life. So Jesus, great commitment. This, if you could say, Jesus' bottom line for us in living out our Christian life, in experiencing what God wants us for, would be this. It's to make the number one priority of today living the great commitment. Now, do you understand when I talk about the great commitment? But seek first. That's the commitment, the kingdom of God today. If you go like, but what does that mean? It means, would you, you know, put your number one priority today doing what God desires to be done, doing it in your life? Now, sometimes we say, well, I don't know. How do I know what God wants me to do? Well, just asking the question opens us up. What does God desire to be done in your home right now? Do you have any idea? Would you be, so I think this is what God would desire. Well, the kingdom of God will be manifest there if you will do what he wants you to do. When you go to work this week, and you're there, and you're, you know, you just look at, what does God desire for me to do in this particular situation I'm facing? And if you will do that. That's why I talk about this verse continually comes back to me. I'm always asking the question, what is it that, you know, that I know God wants for me, what God desires in the situation, and am I willing to do it? Not because I'm a pastor, because I'm a person like you are, and I'm asking those questions in my life. If you're in school, you just go to school and say, what is it that I know God desires for me to do in this situation? And if you will do it, his kingdom becomes manifest there. His kingdom continues to grow and to go forth. And when the kingdom of God goes forth, you will always see this manifestation of God. That's why Jesus said it's the good news. Because where what God wants or what God desires is actually being done in those situations. So Jesus said, what's your top priority of day? Would you make it this? Because if you will, Matthew 6:33 ends with this, and then all these things will be added unto you. Jesus said God knows what you need, and he'll work. God knows how you're wired. He knows what your purpose is. And if you'll put the number one priority here, then you'll find God working in all of these other areas of our life. So I'd like to pray today to offer this commitment response back to Jesus. Now, before I do, it may be that, you know, when you hear us talking about being born again, entering into the kingdom, there was a, oh yeah. I'd always thought that, you know, being born again was something totally different, but coming to Jesus and acknowledging that's what I need in my life, you know what? I think I'm ready for that. And if you are, then just join me in this prayer. In fact, if you make a little note on your communication card, I'd love just to, you know, stay in communication with you about that. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord, for those that are here and have just come to that understanding, being born again is opening myself up for you to do in me not just the work of forgiveness, but a birthing of new life and new relationship with you that I didn't have before. That's what I've been searching for, and that's what I ask as best I know, Jesus, for you to do in my life now, please. And if that's your prayer, just tell him. Jesus, you've put before us this challenge of a great commitment. Will we make our number one priority today the kingdom of God and its advancement in our lives and in the areas that we travel? Help us to realize what your hope for the world is and your hope for us. And in fact, the kingdom of God is the expression of that condensed down. Help us to live out putting first what you desire, Father, that we can experience what you desire for us in our lives as well, we pray. We ask this in your name, Lord Jesus. And everybody in agreement said, amen. Amen.